Thank you, Ms. Clark. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and go to Luke chapter number 2. What a blessing how the Lord puts the message and the music right together. Amen. The message today for the tape room, for everybody that wants to take notice or hold on to the title of the message, is When Faith Becomes Sight. When faith becomes sight. I want to say thank you to everybody that has worked so hard in our ministry, so much of our staff, and many of them are working right now, and this time some of the offices will be closed. We've announced a lot of those things, and so if you would be kind to us, a lot of our people, we work them really hard all the time. Amen. And so just this little bit of time that they'll take a breather, and it will be a short one, and we'll get back to it. But if you don't come up and see the parking lot full of cars, it is that time of year where the school is shut down, and so sometimes we'll take a little bit of breather. But I guarantee you, already what I know we have planned, if you pull up here and you see a truck backed up by a door, if you walk inside, we're liable to put you to work. So you may not want to come up here. Amen. Amen. So when faith becomes sight, I thought to myself as Christmas comes, and I've read several times through the Christmas story. My grandfather went home to be with the Lord this past year, and I've always, my home church used to put on a big Christmas play, and they've, you know, there's only so much of the Christmas story every year that you want to try to change it and make it fresh. And my pastor that I grew up under did such a wonderful job of writing script after script after script that had a different Christmas focus, but ultimately the same message: to be saved by grace, by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so even this morning, as we think about when faith becomes sight, I do realize in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, the Bible teaches us to walk by faith and not by sight. Here in Luke chapter 2, we find a picture of someone who is doing that. Now, really, we find several people. And even this morning over at the campground, I preached about Mary. And the angel appears to Mary. And Mary, I mean, I'm telling you, can you imagine that? I mean, all these positive things are being said to Mary. And she still is fearful, trembling, even to the point where the Bible uses the term that she was kind of cast. Almost kind of cast down and worried. She was troubled at the saying of the angel, but he had said nothing but, "Thou art highly favored." But when you're in the presence of something that holy, we typically sometimes have fear, don't we? And what did he say next? Fear not. Because faith and fear are opposites, folks. Amen. The enemy of fear is always faith in the believer's life. Walking by faith and not by sight, sometimes the things we see in this life cause us fear. When we've had loss in the past, any time in this year, when we get to a Christmas and there's somebody or something that is not going to be present at this Christmas, we're not sure. We what if ourselves, don't we? We think about all the possibilities and all the things. Here we see that Mary has gone through all those things, and for herself, her faith has become sight. Just as the angel predicted, the Lord Jesus has been born in Bethlehem. He came just the way he said. Joseph is not his father. He was born of a virgin womb. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and she was, if we could say it this way, she birthed into life the Son of God, the very Son of God. 100% God and 100% man. That he might have a body that he could lay down, a body that he could pick up again in his resurrection. That's the Christmas story, folks. But God is so good, he tells us more of the story. That once the family has been in Bethlehem and they've done all, the shepherds have seen them, then they go to do what every Jew was supposed to do, and that was to make a sacrifice that was really just a picture of the Lord Jesus, but they came to do it anyway because he was going to fulfill the law on every point. And this is a wonderful picture too, you know, before the age of accountability as parents for us, that his parents went and did what he couldn't choose to do for himself right there. They went and followed the Lord. That You know, we think about, you know, so many people talk about the age of accountability. You say, what is that? That is the age that you begin to understand and take some responsibility for your own eternal destiny. Parents, we have we think about all that we have to raise our children for and all that we want, so much investment in what they're going to do for forever. But where are they going to spend eternity? We think about this life as forever and what we want to be proud of them forever. But one of the greatest moments in every parent's life that saved and knows they're on their way to heaven is when their child receives the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see the change in them. What a day that is. What a change in me that is. When I realize, man, that's one of the greatest hurdles of my life as a parent, to realize that my child has come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, it's something we ought to pray for, something we ought to work for. But I see a progression. You know, sometimes I want you to see the busyness of Mary and Joseph. I'm kind of in this, people call where I'm at, and they've already told you how old I was, and it's not 84. But I'm in the place they call me middle-aged. You know what that means? That I ain't in the starting block, and I'm not at the finish line. I'm still in the middle of the race. But Mary and Joseph are more towards the beginning of this race. They've just had a child. They have all these worries, and they're worried about making sure they do the thing under the law that they're supposed to do. I'm sure they're caught up and making the traveling plans and arriving in Jerusalem and taking care of all the needs of their baby. All right? There's no lovies or huggies in this age. They're not putting on disposable diapers. All right? That was just a mess back then like it is now. And they arrive at the temple, and they're consumed with all the things that they have to do and what is going on. And then an old man shows up and snatches the baby away from them. Because, folks, you understand what happens when you get older. You don't care no more. You're near the end. The pleasantries are gone. You try to be nice to people you don't know, but the ones that you do know, you don't care. You know they know you, right? And I think I'm in the middle age, and I've dealt with both ends of it, but the older you get, the more you realize that just ain't worth doing. That ain't worth saying. No one is benefited by me expending my energy, and when I get towards the end, there's less energy, so I'm not spending it on him. I'm not spending it on that, right? So now we see in the Bible records such a blessing of all these different people. We've seen, think about the Christmas story. God has allowed us to see what he has a plan and a purpose in Mary's life, then a family, and then shepherds, one of the lowest classes of people that are abiding in the field, and God announces his son's birth to them first. And they go to the manger, and then we see wise men who were wise enough to see Christ, and they come from afar to see Jesus. And we know it's a long trip and it takes some time, but they stop by kings, and God brought kings and wise men, shepherds, and now he does not forget to record how an older person, both male and female, see Jesus. Those that are walking by faith and not by sight. Those that are waiting to see the consolation of Israel. Let's read the scripture for us today. Look at the scripture in verse 25. I brought you up to speed. He says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And that same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he should see the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, they took him up. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the rising, look at this, the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, and a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in the instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. This morning, I want to pray, and then we'll take off for home. But I want you to realize that what a day it is in every believer's life when faith becomes sight. When faith becomes sight. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you again for an opportunity to gather together with your people. Now, Lord, as we just again share the simple Christmas message of Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, that you would bless the message, that, Lord, you, Holy Spirit, you do what I can't do. You go into the hearts of the hearers, and you draw men that need to be saved. You draw those that need to surrender. Lord, you change us from the inside out. We'll ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. When faith becomes sight, let me just say, we understand Simeon is an older man. We are not given how old he is, but we know that he will not see death until he has seen the Lord's Christ. I believe he's been waiting for the consolation of Israel sometime. By the way he reacts and doesn't even go through pleasantries, he just snatches the baby up and begins to get excited about when his faith has become sight. You see, Simeon has lived his whole life with faith in Jesus Christ. He just didn't know it was going to be Mary and Mary and Joseph, if you could, in their child. They didn't realize he was going to live in Nazareth. He didn't realize exactly when everything was going to happen or what he was going to look like or who. He knew that he would come through the Jewish race. He knew that he would be a son of David. He knew that he would come to Jerusalem, to the temple, and do what was required of every Jew when the baby is born. So the Holy Spirit of God, even Old Testament, is resting upon him, not in him, because we've not made a New Testament age. You know, that's one of the wonderful mysteries of this book, that says that the mystery of the New Testament is Christ in you, the hope of glory. All the Old Testament saints that had the power of God resting on them, but I look out at a crowd of people. If you're saved and you're in this building today, the power of God lives inside of you, seals you and keeps you until the day of redemption. You have a power to serve God that an Old Testament group of people never had. They had it on them. They could have it rest on them for a purpose, but God purposely put it in you because he said, in this age, we're his temple. This is where he comes to meet with us. This is where he wants to be worshiped, in spirit and in truth. You say, folks, listen, we started talking about Simeon. I mean, this man is a special man. The Bible describes him as just and devout. I believe just and devout, those two things describe his faithfulness to the Lord. His belief and his love for God. It describes that he was faithful to watch and to look, and then that day led to the temple to wait so that he could see the Lord Jesus, see the Lord Christ, the Bible says. You say, preacher, I get that. I understand. Well, this is what I want you to understand. Do you realize, think about, I want you to picture all the things that happened. This is an older man. It wasn't easy. I can imagine waking up in the morning. I'm in the middle. I know the aches and pains I live with every day. I don't know. I got to trust and walk by faith and not by sight, that by the time I double this age, what's that going to feel like? How hard is it going to be faithful to be then? To show up in my place and be where God wants me to be? When it could be said that I've spent 70 some years reading God's book, You know, it's real easy to get complacent and say, I don't need to see it anymore. I don't need to be faithful today. I don't need to be faithful anymore. No, folks, faithfulness doesn't end. It's when faith becomes sight that everything I'm reading about happens. When everything that I teach other people about happens. When I hear the trumpet sound. You see, for the Old Testament Christian, they were looking for Jesus coming. And the New Testament Christian is looking for him to come again. To rapture us out of this place. For a moment, for my faith to become sight. What a day that will be. You want to know what I'm going to do? You're going to fight me to take... Listen, I'm not going to grab him like a babe in a manger and take him up. But I sure am going to wrap him up. If you don't think that I'm going to fight you to get the first hug from my Savior, you got another thing coming. You say, well, the pastor's not supposed to be a brawler. I'll be done pastoring at that point. I'm going to be throwing elbows. Amen. Face to face with my Lord Jesus. Amen. What a day that will be. And I can only imagine, if I can feel that now, how did Simeon feel? How did he feel that day when he had waited? He had been promised of God. Do you know, folks, as a New Testament believer, you've been promised for that day that you'll be raptured out of this place. As a New Testament believer that lives faithfully and walks with God and lives for Him, every day that I live, I wake up with a brand new promise that I had yesterday that today could be the day that I could be raptured out of this place and see Him face to face, and my faith will become sight. And all the people and the haters of this world that says, that's not so, there's no God, there's all these things, all that will be stilled when I see Him face to face. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'll stand face to face with my Redeemer. Woo! I'm not sure what it was like to hold Jesus Christ, but I know the anticipation that was inside Simeon. Now, I don't have the decades, but I thought about all the faithful people that have been in this place. All the faithful Christians that I know that have lived longer than I have and had anticipated when their faith becomes sight. And I think, what must that longing be inside of them today? They're not as young as they used to be, and they can't do all the things for God that they even today still desire to do. And they look up and long for Jesus to come, that their faith would become sight. They look up and they long for to be able to, like Simeon did, to be able to hold him in their hands, hold him in their arms, and see him, the one they've lived for, the one they've bled for, the one they've given to. Folks, Simeon had a promise. And anytime God promises, God always comes through. Do you know, I really believe as we approach that day, the Bible says that we can see the day approaching. And for us, what should we do? Should we be less faithful? The Bible doesn't tell us that, does it? It says, as the day approaches, we so much the more as we see the day approaching. How much should I pray as I see the day approaching? More than I ever have. How much should I long and love His appearing? More than I ever have. How much should I attend church? More than I ever have. How much should I invite people to be saved? More than I ever have. How much should I... Listen, I'm just telling you, boy, when I think about that today could be the day, that tomorrow could be the day, then I want today to be my best for my Savior because I'm going to see Him face to face. I guarantee you that morning that Simeon didn't get up and put on the same old robes that he walked all around. When the Holy Spirit said, you're going to see the Savior tomorrow, I guarantee you, he put on his best. I mean, he put on it. I mean, it was like he was going to see the president down here, right? Now, I wouldn't dress up. He put on his Sunday best is the way we would say it down here. I believe he got ready for that meeting. I think he went there with an anticipation that he was going to see the Lord's Christ. And when he saw the Messiah, you know, I'm wondering if he was even surprised. I know the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would be there, but I wonder if he expected him to be a little older. I wonder if he thought he'd look a little different. Do you know the Bible talks about the Lord Jesus that there was nothing comely about him in that way, or there was nothing different. In other words, even Thomas, called Didymus, means twin. That means there was somebody else on earth that looked just like him. I don't know what you've imagined for Jesus to look like, but he looks like every other man that's a Jew that's his age, right? Except for there's something different about him. There's holes in his hands. There's a hole in his side. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm just saying, we'll know him when we see him face to face. You know, Simeon, because he had the Holy Spirit on him, he knew who he was. Don't tell me there wasn't other babies born around that time. Don't tell me there weren't other sets of parents in there with babies and people walking around ready to make a sacrifice, but he knew exactly the one it was. And that baby looked like all the other Jewish babies that was in there. Mary and Joseph looked like any other family, but the Holy Spirit said, that's the one. Do you know that most of us inside the room, if we're talking as believers and we can hold on to the truth, and man, we get excited when we think and hear that preaching. But for many of you, you're here and you never accepted Christ as your Savior. You're thinking there's all these different types of gods out there in the world. There's all these different ways to go to heaven. No. There's only one way. And if you're honest with yourself today, you know that the Holy Spirit of God has directed you to the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to be worshiped in spirit and in truth, and the Spirit of God has to draw every man unto himself. And it is the truth of God that the Spirit of God used to draw men unto himself. And I want to ask you today, I had some questions that I wrote down. I saw these folks. I said, are you ready to go? I mean, we talk about seeing him face to face. When our faith becomes sight, one of the questions you ought to answer yourself today is, are you ready to go? Everybody doesn't get to be as old as Simeon. Everybody doesn't get to wait for the consolation of the Lord. Somebody's going to be 5, and somebody's going to be 10, and somebody's going to be 15, and 20, and 25, and 30, and every age under the sun. Some of them are even going to make it to where Anna was. Say, how old was Anna? I don't know. The Bible gives us some registering there, and I could calculate it up to about, it said that she was married for 7 years. Amen, but God delivered her. I mean, she was married for 7 years. And then she was a widow for 84 years. So that, I mean, I calculated, I'm not the best at math, but I mean, we're around 91, are we not? Now, let's say they consider a man 12 years old. All right? Let's say she got married somewhere between 12 and 14. Now, that's crazy to us, isn't it? So, but still, if she was older, she was older, right? So, I mean, somewhere between 103 and 105. 103 and 105. And she comes in, and she sees Simeon. Now, I don't know if Simeon was that old, right? But, I mean, he was older. But we're given an age on Anna, and she walks into place. Nobody carries her in. She walks up into place, and she sees what's going on and hears what God is doing. And the same Holy Spirit that's witnessing to Simeon is witnessing to her. And she gets excited, and she starts to talk about the redemption that's about to happen for Israel because of the Lord Jesus Christ. My question is, are you ready to go? Do you know that to be ready to go, you got to be like Simeon? The Bible said he was just. You know that just word meant he was trusting in the Messiah. He had put his faith and trust in him, just as if I had never sinned. You see, that doesn't happen because you worked your sins off. That doesn't work because you got more sins than you did. It wasn't because he got baptized by John the Baptist, because John the Baptist wasn't old enough to baptize him. Baptized. Simeon is a believer before baptism is popular. You know, I thought about this preacher. You know, how did everybody in the Old Testament get saved if we didn't start baptisms until John the Baptist showed up? If that's what baptism takes, then how in the world are all the Old Testament people saved? But you know, I know that they were given the truth of Jesus Christ and they could look forward to the cross and believe in him. and everybody, if it's only Jesus and Jesus alone. So baptism ain't getting you there. It's being justified because you put your trust and faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Simeon, it's clear that this, he lifts him up, he said, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He believed that this child would redeem his people. He believed that this child was God's son in the flesh that would be live a perfect life, would go to the cross and lay that life down and then take it back up again and be seated at the right hand of the throne in heaven after he had walked into a tabernacle not made with hands and would put the blood, the sinless blood, his own blood, the blood of the lamb slain before the foundation of the world on the mercy seat in heaven. And atonement had been made. You see, that's the baptism that needed to happen. The altar needed to be baptized with the blood of Jesus. And everybody in the past that had believed in that Jesus, they were saved under the blood. Everybody in the New Testament that will ever believe was saved by the blood because of this child. Simeon was just. See, you and I can never be sinless, but we can be justified because of what Jesus did for us. Do you know, if we're here, then what ought we be after we're just or justified? We ought to be devout. We ought to be faithful to him. Simeon had been faithful before he ever showed up. Do you know what a New Testament Christian ought to be? We ought to be faithful till Jesus shows up. He shows up in my life all the time, but one day my faith will become sight. I'll hear a shout from heaven. Woo, what a day that'll be. What a day that will be. Are you ready to go? Are you devout? How about this? Paul uses this terminology, and I think Simeon was thinking the same thing. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Can you imagine the culmination of his entire life? Think about what he says here. He says, I just can't believe how he goes through all this. And he says unto God, and it was revealed unto him, look in verse 26, by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he goes through this whole thing. And he says, verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Do you know there's a peace that only comes? The Bible talks about a peace that passes all understanding. The grace to live in this age. I've served with some great people in this ministry. Even this morning, the Lord brought one to my mind. And I thought, they didn't get... every one of them anticipated and waited for the coming of the Lord. And they just didn't get to see it. But they saw him face to face. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But with every one of us, we all want to hang on. We'd rather see the undertaker than the undertaker. But when we come to that time period, there's a peace. There's a, I finished my course. The Apostle Paul believed and preached and penned down just like he planned on seeing Jesus come back in his own age. But then he came to a place in his life where peace and fulfillment came over him because he had been faithful and devout to the Lord. And he said, I've finished my course and I've kept the faith. And he passed from death unto life. When he got saved at that Damascus Road, he passed from death unto life. But he really passed from death unto eternal life that moment. The Bible uses that term for the believer. He fell asleep. It's a comforting term. Doesn't really use death or died. It says he fell asleep. Why do they use that? Because one day he's going to wake up. Doesn't matter what you do to that old body, one day God's going to call it up from the ground. It's going to take life again where there was no life anymore because of what Jesus did. See, we have that hope in Jesus Christ. How about this? Let me ask you this. Second question for you. Are you looking for his coming? At Christmas time, if we're not careful, we get looking down. And we wonder why sometimes we get downtrodden during the Christmas season. We get looking down for all the gifts other people can give us instead of the one that we've been given. We get looking around for someone else to encourage us instead of looking for someone else to tell about someone who's already come, the wonderful gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a season this could be if, as Christians, we just decided, I'm going like this all Christmas season. They're going, what you looking for? Jesus. He's coming back. You say, they'll think I'm crazy. Simeon didn't care. Can you imagine the priest walking by Simeon that day and they say, what are you looking for? Jesus. Who? The Lord Christ? Oh, come on, man. He said, he's going to be here today. I'm waiting on him. They walked off and said, crazy old man. That's what the priest said. What should the priest have been looking for? The coming of Christ. What should the priest have asked? Who told you that? The Holy Spirit of God? Really? I'm going to stay and wait with you. Hey, you know what? I mean, a church really is somebody that caught the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and started doing this. And then they said, what are you looking for? Jesus. Oh, who's that? Let me tell you about him, right? And then you got two people going. And somebody else walks up and goes, what are y'all looking at? Let me tell you, it's Jesus. And then there's three people, right? And all of a sudden you say, well, how can we make a difference in this whole world? Listen, if all of us went out in the parking lot and stood looking up, people would pull over to ask us what we were looking at. There would be people that didn't have time to stop would take a picture and post it on Facebook and say, I don't know what was going on over there, but the whole church was looking up. And people would come and ask. They'd call the church. I saw on Facebook, you're all are looking up. What are you looking for? Let me tell you about it. Say, preacher, come on now. How about this? Are you telling others? Because looking up, I mean, that is just a sign to everybody around you. It makes other people ask questions. We're going to go to watch night. We're going to get buttons again. And the buttons are just another way of looking up. People saying, what does that mean? Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about it. Hey, folks, this life is too short to wind up coming to an age that Anna and Simeon are. Because God is graceful and peaceful to us. And to look back down the road and to be dissatisfied because I wasn't devout. I didn't finish my course with joy. I look back and I go, I wish I'd spent more years looking up. I wish I'd spent more years telling other people about the one that saved me. Hey, every one of us will still be wanting to see him face to face. But isn't it time that we as a church, again, we've always been that way, right? Wouldn't it be great if, I mean, we're known for running buses. We're known for fighting the city at every turn. We're known for dressing right. That ain't what they call it. We're known for all kinds of things. But wouldn't it be nice if they said, that's the church that's always looking up. That's the church that's always looking up. Friend, when my faith becomes sight, it'll be too late for me to tell another person about Jesus Christ. It'll be too late for me to serve him. It'll be too late for me to be devout. This race will have been run, and I'll stand and see him face to face. The next thing on his calendar is a judgment seat for the Christian. Not for my sin, but for what I did in the body. How I spent this life. And what a great thing it would be. Can you imagine Jesus saying, tell me what you did. Tell me what you did with your life. And I, you know, we don't have the power to recall all that, but that day we will. And when I begin to spill out, and what joy it would be, because I feel like I'm almost going to be, I don't want to say out of the body experience, it'll be something like that as I just record and recall all the things that I've done and what a life it would live if I hear myself talking about all the faithfulness that God allowed me to have because I just decided to be faithful and to walk by faith and not by sight. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're a Christian here, And you need to come and talk to the Lord because you want to be more devout. Boy, the altar is open for you. If you're here today and you don't know this Jesus, you want to look up, but you've never looked in the Scripture and realized that if you would just put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you could be saved. If you would just trust in Him and call upon His name, that He would save your soul. And then you could start looking up and know that you had a promise from God that He was coming back for you. Today, the invitation is to you. I invite you to step out and come down and meet me in the front, and we'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Let's stand to our feet. As Brother Burke begins to sing, if you need to do business with God, you step out and do business with God.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, this is an invitation, a personal invitation for you to step out and come. As Brother Burt sings, you come and receive the Lord's Christ this morning.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. Well, I hope you did what God asked you to do, and I hope you'll continue to look up throughout the week. And on Christmas Day, wouldn't it be great if we had somebody that we've told about Jesus in church with us, because we were looking up through the week. Amen. We're going to close in prayer this morning. I want to thank everybody that made a decision. So many came down and others I was able to pray with. What a blessing. And it's so good to see some folks that are members here that haven't been for a while. It's good to see you, Victoria. Lane, it's good to see you too, buddy. Amen. And so many others back for the Holly and Soar. We'll have some more maybe for Christmas that are stopping in to visit with us. It's good to see our folks. Amen. And whenever we can, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Congdon. Brother Congdon, you close us out tonight, this morning.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity, this past hour, Lord, to be in your house and hear the message, hear the preaching, Lord, that you laid upon our pastor's heart. Thank you for the truth of the message this morning. And Father, just thank you for speaking to our hearts. And Father, just thank you again for the reason for the season. And Lord, just thank you for our visitors that have come our way today. And Lord, just be with us now as we're dismissed and get ready for tonight's service. Father, just be with the cantata tonight, be with those that come. May the message of the gospel be, as it's presented, Lord, may it be received. May we see folks saved tonight. Thank you again for being so good to us and giving us this time now in your house. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.